Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen. God bless you, choir. I want you to turn in your Bibles again to 1 Kings. Just maybe today we will finish the sermon. I guess you can call it a three-part series, a three-part sermon. I'm in a process. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. This morning I want you to go to verse 22. We're going to start at verse 22 and read until we stop. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Then Elijah said to them, 'I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God.'" Yes. Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Verse 25, "Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire.' So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. 'Baal, answer us,' they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. 'Shout louder,' he said. 'Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened.' So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention." Verse 30, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come here to me.' They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Your name shall be Israel.' With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, 'Fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood.' 'Do it again,' he said, and they did it again. 'Do it a third time,' he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.' Yes, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench." And this is our final verse. "When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried,
The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. If you know Him, amen. Give Him praise as you shall take your seats in His presence on this Sunday morning. Now, we've gone through this journey. Thank you, ushers, from this topic, I'm in a process, and we've talked about the fact that as believers, we have to fight sometimes. But the good news is that if you're on the Lord's side, you don't have to fight by yourself. As a matter of fact, the battle ain't even your battle. The battle belongs to Him, and I think I have but two or three witnesses in the house who know that God is able to handle His fights, amen, even without our help or intervention. We talked about the fact that once we accept Christ as our Savior, amen, we step into a reality that we never saw before. As a matter of fact, in that instant that we become Christians, amen, we get an abundant and eternal life that we never had before. We reminded you that we are three-part beings. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And because of this body that we wear, even though we strive for perfection, and let me pause here parenthetically and tell you to not be fooled by anybody, because there's some folk who would have you to believe that they are somehow perfect now. Amen. That they got it all together. They don't do this, they don't do that. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that if you wear this flesh, you do something. Your thing may not be my thing, and my thing may not be your thing, but if you wear flesh, you're doing something that is contrary to the will, the word, and the way of God. Can I get any witnesses in the house this morning? Now, I'm not saying that as an excuse to sin. I'm saying that as a reality. It is just the reality that because we wear this flesh, amen, we are prone to mess up. But the good news is that God over 2,000 years ago made provision for us by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to die on an old rugged cross for all of our sins, for all of our iniquities, for all of our shortcomings. And if we will believe in Him, amen, it will be well with our souls. Is there anybody who knows that when all is said and done, when you lay this body down, you will live eternally with God in heaven, not because you've been so good, but because you accept and you have faith and you believe that what He did at Calvary was enough. Turn to somebody and tell them it was enough. Make no mistake about it, my brothers and sisters, that God in a real sense has us in a process. We're in a process. Amen. I'm not who I'm going to be, but praise God that I'm not who I used to be. I'm in a process, and the old me is crucified, watch this, on a daily basis. And the new me is now given an opportunity to thrive and to grow and to cultivate and to mature and to survive. Thank God that because of what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross, we now have an opportunity to look more like Him, to walk like Him, to be like Him. Amen. Glory and honor be to God. And I wonder if there's anybody in the room today who can testify, sure, preacher, I'm a living witness that since I've been in Christ and Christ has been in me, there has been a definite, recognizable, obvious change on the inside of me. Amen. I'm not like I used to be. That ought to be your testimony. If you've been in the Word and if you've been letting the Word get in you, amen, you ought to be better now than you used to be. And I said it in the first sermon, not that I don't cuss anymore, but I don't cuss as much. Come on, somebody give me a pat on the back for that. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God that we're in a process. Now, I told you that a part of this process is this reality that we're going to have to fight sometimes. And I told you that two of the weapons that God gives us in our arsenal that are at our disposal that we ought to use every time we're called upon to fight, we ought to use these two weapons. Number one, we ought to use our faith. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. The devil has to understand that if he attacks the natural carnal me, he might win. Amen. But when he steps to me and I'm full of faith, he better watch out. Is there anybody in here who's had to fight some fights with faith? Amen. You didn't have the money, but you had faith. You didn't have people and friends in high places, but you had faith. Is there anybody who knows that faith will make the difference? I told you that you got to have faith, but then I said there's another weapon you have at your disposal. That is prayer. And if you're a believer and you don't have a prayer life, you're missing out on, amen, one of the best tools that you have to fight. I told you last Sunday, amen, that if you don't know how to pray and if you don't pray, then you're not communicating with headquarters. And if you're going to fight the devil victoriously, you've got to communicate with headquarters, because do you know what I found out? I found out that sometimes I'm putting my gloves on and I'm putting my boxing gear on. And when I talk to headquarters, headquarters says, you can put all that stuff up. I got this one. Amen. You just go to sleep tonight. Come on, is there anybody here who made up in your mind that since God never sleeps and since he never slumbers, there are some battles I can just go on and go to sleep? Give him praise in this place. But then the last two things I want to share with you. I want to share with you, number one, that when you're in a fight and you're trusting in God and you take a stand for God, you need to know that God will show you signs. You need to be aware of the signs. And I'm not talking about spooky mysticism. I'm talking about spiritual things. And if you are spiritual, you need to know that sometimes God will speak to you with signs. That didn't just happen just to happen. Some of that stuff that's happening in your life, God is trying to take you somewhere. Do I have a witness today? Some of the stuff that's happening in your life, amen, God is trying to wake you up to something. He's trying to alert you to some danger, to some harm that's down the road, down the way, amen. That flat tire may not just be an accident, may not be a coincidence. God may be saving you from a bigger accident down the road. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. I want to take a moment and talk to somebody who's been praying about something for a long time and you're about ready to give up the praying because it just doesn't seem like you're going to get an answer. And you're saying, God, please give me a sign. The text says that here in this text, it says that 450 prophets of Baal are standing against this prophet on every side. Take note that God here didn't give him a word for his enemies. Sometimes, y'all, we spend too much time trying to convince our enemies that we are who we are. God said, don't even give the enemies any credence. I want you to build me an altar. Get your eyes off your enemies. Stop talking about your haters. Amen. Ain't it somehow, church folk, we're always talking about our haters. I'm guilty of it too. Amen. Always talking about, but sometimes God is saying to us, get your eyes off of your haters. Get your eyes off of your enemies. God says, build me an altar. Is there anybody in this house this morning who's figured out that if you build some altars for God, God will show up? Somebody, when you get home today, you need to get in that house and build an altar. You need to say, this space right here is for God. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all on your jobs, every day is a headache, and you're talking about folk that are working against you and conspiring against you. I dare you to get in that office and maybe just in a little corner space on your desk, build you an altar for God. Amen. Put something there that represents your relationship with God. And is there anybody here who knows that when you construct altars for God, when you dedicate time and space for God, God will honor those places and he will show up? God said, build me an altar, dig ditches around it, put a sacrifice on it. Then I want you to pour water in the ditches, pour water on the altar, pour water on the sacrifice. Then I want you to step back a little because I want to show you a public sign. Y'all, I thank God for private signs. Oh, but it's something about a public sign. Amen. And he, God told David, amen, he said that he would prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Sometimes your haters, your enemies, amen, I said we weren't going to talk about, but sometimes they need to know that you serve somebody more powerful than them. Do I have a witness in here today? Sometimes your haters and your enemies need to know that as bad as they talk, amen, and they got guns and all that stuff, but you need to let them know that I serve a God, and baby, he will show up when I need him the most. Is there anybody here who's had God to show up just in the nick of time when you were almost lost, when you were almost about to give up and throw in the towel, but you turned it over to Jesus and he worked there? Give him a right now praise. He will show up. I know I'm talking to somebody today who's had God to give you a public sign. Have you ever had God to say to you, step back? I'm about to show you what I'm working with. I ain't talking about mystical. I'm talking about God. Have you ever had God to show you a sign that was so visible and demonstrative that it shut up your critics and it proved to everybody that the Lord was on your side? Have you ever had God to stand between you and your enemies when the devil had you surrounded and everybody was saying that you'd never come out of this, and God proved himself faithful? When you get a sign like that, you can dance whether you have rhythm or not. I'm that rhythmless witness. Amen. I'm that rhythmless witness. I've watched God work some miracles in my life, and I may not have done it in church, but sometimes in the privacy of my house, I've torn some stuff up. Amen, with my no rhythm self, but I get to thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. And if I'm not careful, church will break out at 2116 Gene Street. Is there anybody here who've discovered that you can be in Walmart and get to thinking about how God brought you from welfare to now you can go in there and buy whatever you want? And if you're not careful, church will break out in Walmart. Amen. You can be in your car riding along and get to thinking about the goodness of Jesus. And don't let John P. Key get on your radio. Don't let Hezekiah. If you're not careful, you got to pull over because you might run over something. Is there anybody that can give God praise for a sign? Thank him for a sign. See, when you get a sign, you don't care whether or not your tie is crooked. You don't care if your hat is on backwards, because you're not rejoicing because of your circumstance and affliction. You are rejoicing in spite of your circumstance and in spite of your affliction. You can be in your kitchen throwing dishes in the dishwasher and tell the Lord, thank you, you brought me out, because it's one thing for God to deliver you in private, but it's a whole different ball game when God delivers you in public and everybody is looking at you. The thing I love about God is that when God gives you a sign, everybody is going to be like, whoa. Because God chooses to shine a light on you, to make you a testimony, to let others know that the job she got that she wasn't qualified for, I gave it to her. That car that she's driving with bad credit, I'm talking about that tore-up credit. That, amen. But she's driving, pulling up on the parking lot in a new car. God is standing back saying, I gave it to her. That house that she's living in that the bank refused the first 6 times, but on the 7th time, it got approved. God is saying, I did that. I did that. Amen. And do you know what? Other people will be jealous because they will be more connected, qualified, better financed than you were. But while they've got good finance, you've got favor. And is there anybody that can thank God for favor? Give him praise for his favor. And y'all, here was the sign. Fire fell from the heaven. Here's what it did. It licked up the water. It burned up the wood. But this is what you gotta get. It didn't just lick up the water, and it didn't just burn up the wood. Amen. It burned up the rocks. I'm talking about God. Amen. You know, fire is supposed to evaporate water. It's supposed to burn wood. But fire ain't supposed to eat up no rocks. But when you get to talking about our God, when God does something for you, he has a way of doing for you what ain't supposed to be done. When God does something for you, people will help you that can't even stand you. I'm talking about when God is in your business. People will lift you up that don't even like you. When God gives you a sign. Take note that at the end of this public display that Elijah still has problems. And this is what messes us up as modern day believers, because we haven't walked long enough with God to know that you can have great victory, you can win a tremendous battle, and still have some problems. Is there anybody here who can say, yes, God delivered me, he saved me, he healed me, but I still got some problems? Don't get it twisted. Amen. I'm rejoicing right now. I'm happy right now. I'm praising him right now. But don't get it twisted. I still have some problems. And is there anybody that figured out that just as soon as you get out of one thing, amen, if it ain't one thing, it sure lives another? He can't even celebrate the sign because the Bible records that he's still in a drought. A drought. Do y'all know what a drought is? A drought is a dry place. Let me see the hands of those who've ever been in a dry place. Dry place. What do you do when God has done great things for you and you find yourself still in a dry place? Now, when you think about it, a drought is really worse than a famine, because you can survive a little while without food, but you ain't gonna last too long without water. He's seen God do great things, but he's still in a drought. And a drought is a strange kind of challenge, because the 450 prophets of Baal were there. He could see them. He's looking at them, but a drought is that kind of enemy you can't see. And some of y'all are looking at me funny right now, because you've never had to fight a fight against an enemy that you can't see. But if there's anybody in this house who's ever had to fight a fight against an enemy that you couldn't lay eyes on, that you couldn't put your hands on, you'll know what I'm talking about. Have you ever felt the effects of an enemy you couldn't see? You're walking along and you know that something is working against you. This can't be an accident. Why is this stuff happening to me, an enemy that you cannot see? He's in a dry place. When you're in a dry place, your favorite food don't even taste right. When you're in a dry place, you can be in a room where everybody's laughing, but you ain't finding nothing funny. When you're in a dry place, you've got to push your lips up, amen, to even form a fake smile. And when you are a believer, it's almost embarrassing, especially in this pretentious, fake, phony time that we're living in, because as surely as you testify that you're in a dry place, there are some super spiritual folk who are going to say stuff like, I knew they had nothing. I knew they didn't have any anointing. I knew, amen, they weren't as close to God as they make out to be. But let me tell you, anybody can be in a dry place. Here is this great prophet of God, and yet he finds himself in a dry place. And if you have never experienced a dry place, can I tell you something? Keep on living. You'll hit a spot where you will pray and nothing happens. You'll hit a spot when you call and nobody answers. You'll hit a place where you do the things just like you did it when you got delivered the last time, but it won't work. To be honest, you can shout in the church, you can preach in the pulpit, and still go home dry. No precipitation of peace, no lubrication of love, no water of the Spirit, no moisture of mercy. A dry place can last a long time. And so in a dry place, God gave no sign, and what happened was the sound of wind. God, I'm in a dry place. Can you give me a sign like you gave me before? And all he heard, the Bible says, was a sound of wind. And do y'all know what that sound of wind let him know? That sound of wind let him know that rain was coming. And I've come by on this Sunday morning, my brothers and sisters, to tell somebody who's in a fight, and maybe it's the fight of your life, and you're scratching your head wondering how you're going to ever get through this, how you're going to ever get out of this. God told me to tell you this morning, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Look for that sign. Amen. It may be a quiet sign, but it's a sign of promise. It's a sign that water is coming. It's a sign that your help is on the way. So whatever you do, you see, the devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to throw in the towel. But I've come by as I close this sermonic series to tell you, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. As a matter of fact, I dare you, I double dare you to praise God on a promise. I dare you, I double dare you to praise God for the sign. I dare you, I double dare you, even though you can't put your hands on it, even though you can't touch it, go on and praise God because your help is on the way. Is there anybody here? On this Sunday morning, you found out that you can stand on the promises of God. Just because he said it, you can go on and rejoice and give him praise. Because if he said it, surely it will come to pass. Give him praise today. Tell him thank you today. Worship him today because your help is on the way. And what I like about God is that he may not come when you want him to come, but he will show up right on time. Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he be your hope? Your hope for tomorrow. Give him praise. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you for all that he's done.
And for we at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
I want y'all to stand to your feet and help me welcome my brother, Brother Spanky Williams.